A weak solidarity brekkie team listener when caring employers were dancing in the streets, corks popping, whooping it up as they celebrated the oh-so-sensible decision by their High Court honours that caring employers could employ people without employing people. Every worker in the country no longer a worker, but a one-person contractor who supplies her his labour to the caring employer who is not the caring employer, but for whom the caring employer who is not determines the wages and conditions the caring employer who is not will pay and provide for the supply of that contractor who is not an employee's labour. Showing the wisdom and down-to-earth relationship with reality, the common touch of their High Court honours, who pointed out the contract between the caring employer who is not and the, say, 15-year-old individual contractor signing that contract on such equal terms is a contract, not a friendship. Which was also so informative, so surprising, but so disappointing, because lazy, avaricious workers have always seen their caring employer as a friend. But now discover not only is it not a friend, but also not a caring employer. You're going to laugh at this, listener, but some commentators have suggested this flood of wisdom from the bench will lead to caring employers who are not slashing wages and conditions, slashing safety standards. As if caring employers are not caring when we all know that whenever anything that could upset the delicate flower that is the economy, and there are so many, many things that can upset the delicate flower, like, say, a proposed wage rise, or worse, a real wage rise, the caring employer's only concern is for the workers. This will cost jobs. Which shows just how much they care for their lazy, avaricious workers who will now not be their lazy, avaricious workers, and sadly, as their honours ruled, will not be their friends. And some cynics, certainly not the week that was, might say when it comes to caring employers, the term their honours is appropriate, spot on. Just when we thought Barnacle couldn't get any more stupid, we discovered he sent a text to someone he barely knew that Big Supremo Scuttlebim or Lashson, a.k.a. Scummo, was a hypocrite and a liar who earnestly rearranges the truth to a lie. My observations, and that is over a long time. And thought there was no chance it just might become public. Still, he rounded out a good week for Scummo after it was also leaked that Scummo's great mate Gladys had called him horrible, 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 and a cabinet minister added to the praise with a fraud and a psycho. And Barnacle, showing he'd learnt nothing from believing the text message would never see the light of, urged the cabinet minister to out yourself and explain. Mistake, Barnacle. Big mistake. Imagine it. Could you explain what you meant calling Scummo horrible, 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 a fraud and a psycho? Certainly, I meant Scummo is a horrible, horrible, horrible fraud and a psycho. Then again, maybe Barnacle in his Machiavellian way was setting a trap for his now close friend, the liar and the hypocrite. He did say his assessment of Scummo was historical, whatever that meant. Last week is now history, if we think about it. Perhaps he meant hysterical, but then again, he did say observations over a long time. Not that we're suggesting Barnacle keeps contradicting himself, but anyway, Scummo, as the true loves the dear baby Jesus Christian that he is, says he forgives them all, which proves he's not a liar. Even if he can't forgive all those no proper papers, queue-jumping illegal boat people he has kept locked up for about a decade for the heinous crime of seeking asylum and refuge from war and persecution, from the true blue Aussie invading their country, for instance. That Christian love was evident in his response to the 182-page Amnesty International report accusing Zion of apartheid in its maltreatment of the Palestinian non-people in the non-people's land. No country is perfect, Scummo dismissed the maltreatment, restating True Blue Aussie's close, close, close relationship with Zion, which would not be affected by some report from a body the Zion lobby in True Blue Aussie told us angrily has been taken over by ideological extremists. And Scummo agreed, displaying his love thy neighbour concern for the non-people. A local Zion lobbyist said the report itself was the crime, not the maltreatment of the non-people. A crime against truth and international law, he said. leaving satire sadly yet again with nothing to say. On the positive side, ScoMo was backed up in his defence of Zion by the Socialist Party, another close, close friend of Zion. Its spokesperson, Penny Leftwing, most upset at the use of the word apartheid. Then again, love thy neighbour, epitome of Christian love, horrible, 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 lying, hypocrite, psycho, fraud, scummo, might for once have been honestly self-critical in declaring, no country is perfect, a perfect example. Although, to be fair, he probably does believe one country is perfect, our very, very, very close friend, the US of the UN of the US of the world, which in protecting its perfection, in protecting the whole world, has been forced to escalate its already huge train killer build-up on the evil, evil, evil Russian border, because evil Russia gets a bit upset about the US of NATO build-up on its borders, and poses a threat to world peace, as the US have announced it had irrefutable intelligence. Intelligence, we use that word pretty loosely. Irrefutable evidence, evil Russia planned an imminent invasion. Is that the same intelligence which proved irrefutably evil Iraq was bristling with weapons of mass destruction, hundreds of nuclear weapons, and planned to invade the whole world? Absolutely. And we can guarantee it is just as reliable. You better believe it. In fairness, we can understand the weapons of mass destruction mistake, because the then Secretary for War and Destruction, Donald Rumsfeld, the Arabs, sold them heaps of them. Turns out he didn't know what he didn't know. He knew what he didn't know. He knew he didn't know. The week that was has irrefutable intelligence information. Evil Russia is apparently concerned about the weapons of mass destruction with which the US OB is bristling, and is considering placing train killers and train killer weapons OB on both the US OB's Canadian and Mexican borders. And just a bit of bad luck last week, a US OB train killer jet stuffed up its landing on a train killer aircraft carrier and crashed into the briny. Bad luck, because the US OB was concerned the evil Chinese might seize the wreck and uncover some US OB secrets, which are, of course, critical in the US OB's role to protect the whole world. Because it turned out the train killers were in Chinese territorial waters. Interesting that, because the US OB tells us it is simply exercising its right to sail in non-Chinese territorial waters, international waters. But as ScoMo knows, it is the one country that is perfect, like ScoMo would never, never tell a lie, so it must have inadvertently sailed into evil Chinese territory. Evil China, as the Minister for Being Offensive and train-killing Constable Peter Duffer has warned us, based on equally irrefutable intelligence. Constable Duffer, intelligence, okay, for the sake of argument. Irrefutable that Socialist Party Supremo and would-be Big Supremo, Anthony All-Being-Uzi, is a puppet being manipulated from Beijing. The Chinese Communist, you know, like party, as Pete keeps repeating. Communist Party running a 100% capitalist economy. Thank goodness for Constable Duffer that we've been warned. And it's interesting that capitalist China is a bigger threat to our capitalist values, which are our great true blue Aussie values, than was communist China. Not that that saved Vietnam from our invasion on the coattails of, and speaking of hyperbole, and we're going to come back to hyperbole, and the itch to utilise all those products of the merchants of death, the Secretary of the US of World State, Anthony Non-Blinken First, landed in True Blue Aussie and told us this was the most critical time in our relationship ever, ever. It is imperative True Blue Aussie must buy trillions of dollars more peace, love and products from our US of merchants of death. Death. As we have to learn to live with it, let it rip, RIP of course, for rest in peace, continued to rip, New South Wales Supremo Dom Parrott Talk celebrated thousands of victims dying of it or catching it or being forced to isolate because of it, hospitals and health workers straining under the weight of it by declaring, our plan is working. We said there'd be lots more death and disease, and we were spot on. Yes, it must do a politician's heart the world of good when he in this case, gets it so right. On that, notice in an item about COVID from the US OB, the location was the Henry Ford Health Center. which I thought interesting given the contribution all those Henry Ford exhaust pipes have made to world health. On people who don't matter dying for the good of the profits for people who do matter, politicians also, of course, specialise in hyperbole. Almost anything that happens is the worst ever, the best ever, the most disgraceful ever. That is the most disgraceful comment ever made in this House. We hear it all the time. And this week, Anthony Albanese maintained the tradition, describing aged care as a policy failure the like of which this country has never seen before. Well, yeah, technically the likes of which in this case has never been seen, but I would have thought that over the journey there's been a few policy failures that would have to be right up there. All those train killer invasions on the coattails of our very, very close friend the US of spring to mind, for instance. But don't they just love hyperbole? As issues to do with equality and addressing sexual violence took the stage at the National Press Club, one of the prime examples of why we need more women in politics, Attorney General Michaela Koch the Workers, announced that the promise before the last election to introduce a national anti-corruption body could not sadly be met because there wasn't enough time now before the next election. Which raises a few pretty obvious questions, but it was more important to fulfil another really urgent promise from 3 years ago, giving religion the right to discriminate against those it disagrees or who disagree with it, including children who don't conform to its God-given awareness about a man and a woman. So after politicians wasted a whole night talking about it, Michaela and Scummo and the team decided there wasn't enough time left for that either, after all, because too many people wanted to make it difficult for people of faith in good faith to make children's lives a misery. That'll have to wait. Because, finally, Scummo said the most pressing legislation now before the election was a bill banning the National Press Club. After all, he had given an apology with all the sincerity we've come to recognise, and within 24 hours, two young upstart women had his Love Thy Neighbour and the Dear Baby Jesus horrible, horrible, lying, hypocrite, psycho-fraud reputation in tatters. She didn't seem very tame to me. Good morning.